This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which, if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good, as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh.
Applebee's?
If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Probably my friend Jeremy. Okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
Okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast. We listen to Take 6, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
My butthole's tingling all the time!
Do you think you can make God laugh?
No, bitch.
There's a reason erasers don't work in the park.
You're a clown if you say
so. I'm a Christian wife.
Sicario.
I'm a Christian wife.
White women are notoriously shifty.
I'm a Christian wife.
You should be upset that I had a laugh with her.
Clean up on aisle butt.
Oh my gosh, you know what you look like? Little mischievous boy. That's perfect. I love that.
I've had lots of different situations, death, divorce, failures. I'm Reba McEntire, and this is my masterclass.
Death, divorce, failures.
Failures.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Reba.
Oh, man. Caroline's been replaced by Reba for 1 week only. I can't believe we got her. Me and Reba are here to have some good Christian fun.
That's right. I'm putting the country in GCF.
Oh, I'm glad that's what you're putting into that word and nothing else. Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, the movies, the music, the entertainment made for and made by Christians, or sometimes just adjacent, or just kind of vaguely flavored enough that we can justify talking about it on this very narrow genre of a show.
You know, we have needs too. Kevin and I.
We get bored.
We need to get out of the house, you know? So just lay off.
From time to time, we have a few needs, but we're not here to make you go to church. We're not here to bash your beliefs. We're just here to have fun. That's right. No, Reba stands for everything. For tolerance, equality.
Universalism.
Social justice.
There are many roads to salvation.
And Reba, you've recently come on Twitter to say there is no hell.
And that's when the hell started.
And that's when the torture started in hell.
The torture started, yeah.
And today we're not talking about takes 1 through 5. We're talking about take 6. We're leaving the others behind. Sorry, Dave Brubeck. Sorry, that delicious candy bar. It's take 6 time. Now, do you have any experience with Take Six, Reba? Have you encountered these gentlemen in your musical career thus far?
Well, my first thought is they all look like little boys, and they're adorable. Was that what she said in that clip?
Oh, you look like a mischievous little boy.
They all look like mischievous little boys. I'm very familiar. I am going to ask them to back my track, and it is a Lion King track. I was not asked to make one, but I wanted to get in on the fun.
Yeah, you're doing Be Prepared, right?
That's right.
Well, we can't wait for that.
Be Prepared.
This song has a Be Prepared sort of feel, but it's time to introduce our special guest. Friends and folks, you may know her from her podcast, Plaid Skirts and Basic Black. Give it the hell up for Marcia Lane McGee! Listen.
Live from the laundry room.
Hey, Caroline, don't dox her like that.
Sorry.
Don't you dare dox her. Reba. How dare you, Reba? Oh, man. Oh, wow. It's kind of flickering in your laundry room like you're at a rave, Marcia. Wow.
I think this light bulb needs to be changed in my dad's laundry room.
Just one more thing.
Like, you guys are good, right?
Just like, one more thing.
Like a medical alert bracelet?
Oh, yeah. We're fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a stroke.
Yeah. Okay, not prone to seizures. I survived Cloverfield. I survived all of that.
good for you.
Listen, you know, on the podcast today, it's McGee and me and Caroline, because we're talking to Marcia, all right?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Did you even think about it? Were you ever compared to that little elfin gremlin cartoon boy? Really?
Yeah. Maniac McGee or McGee and me. Either time.
No. Maniac McGee. Like, what did you do?
Yeah, what is that?
Oh, that was the book series.
Maniac McGee. Heard of it? No.
Yeah, it's a book series. Oh, I know. You guys are so much younger than
I am. If it's not Magic School Bus, then I don't even know what we're talking about.
Wally McDougal.
So, like, I'm 40 years old, and so that still, like, tracks from, like, my childhood.
Oh, my gosh.
And so,
you could have asked me to guess your age 12 times. I would have not guessed 40
Never.
Or above.
Yeah.
No one ever guesses. No one ever. Well, Black John cracks. So
congratulations. Yeah.
And yes, thank you
what
so much.
When we get to 40, no one will guess anything less than our ages. Absolutely.
They'll be like, who's this dusty old bitch?
Nasty. I'm 38. It would look like Hans Molman from
Simpsons. I'm in the prime of my life.
It's my husband and I's 10th anniversary. We're still thinking about having children. We haven't decided. We still got time.
We're on the fence.
Oh, Marcia, thank you so much for joining us on the show today, friend.
Yes, very excited to talk to you.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, we would love to hear kind of your background and history with faith and religion and whatnot.
Great. Yes. So I grew up in Chicago. I have with a single mom, and my mom worked all the time. So she either sent me to church with my dad and my grandma and all the family. My grandpa, who wasn't, I guess he wasn't my grandpa, but I didn't know that until much later. He was my step grandpa. Like, not like,
okay. Like a stranger.
Like, so he wasn't like, your son know, like, or something.
He was a spy.
He's really my son. No. Oh my gosh, could you imagine? So I actually found out when I was 4 that he wasn't my, I'm like, yeah, he's my grandpa. And they're like, well, and they, because I said his last name was Lane. And they were like, no, his last name is Bates. And I go, but you're my grandpa. And he's like, I'm not. He's like, I'm Reverend Bates. And so I stopped calling him grandpa, and I called him legit Reverend Bates for the rest of his life. And everyone just let me.
The respect.
Like, it was so fun. Like, he's my grandpa. So we went to church at his church. Like, he had a church that he built in Chicago. And I went with my dad, and I took my little sister with me, who wasn't my dad's daughter. My parents were high school sweethearts that did not stay sweet on each other past high school. I'm just saying.
Oh.
So, Marcia, you know, so I love that line. I would like to hear it again. Anyway.
You take a famous idiom and then you say how it's not true anymore.
Yes.
Makes me happy.
There are 2 peas in the pod, but the pea was made of shit.
The pea was made of shit?
Yeah, PEA. Excuse me. The pee went rotten, something like that.
That's awesome. That's
awesome. So we would go to church with them until they all moved out to Vegas, where I am now, in live from my dad's laundry room. Yes. And after that, my mom, still single mom working, she sent us to church with our grandmother. So we would go all the time. There was no Reverend Bates there, but my granddaddy was also a preacher. So yes. I could not escape the good church learning, like all of it. I couldn't escape the gospel, y'all. And so that was a huge part of my life. And church became a bigger part of my life about sixth grade when my mom's schedule opened up and she started going with us. And it was, it became a much larger part. And on the way, she decided like everything needed to go. No more secular music. We couldn't wear pants anymore. Like it was like legit. Oh,
wow.
Apostolic Pentecostal church. Okay, like it yes. was so, and she's like, no more pants, no more secular music,
but
and
I skirts was like, right, not just no pants,
all
nothing
skirts.
Okay,
yeah, no pants. I got no service
from here on out. Winnie the Pooh law in
naked
our household.
Okay, well, hey, he looked comfortable and
those are traditional
positive.
Gender norms.
So it was no secular music, only skirts. My earrings couldn't be long.
Wow.
We couldn't go to the movies for a while. Like it was a whole thing. And so my mom only listened to like sports on the radio going to church. And it was like a half hour on the other side of town. And we were like, oh my gosh, we hate church now. And, my mom decided, she's like, cause we start complaining about, we just need music. And gospel music only came on Sundays. And she, like, seriously, in her whole, like, we're doing this church thing, right? She took us to we went to Coconuts. Do you remember Coconuts, everybody? It's a store.
No.
Wow. Am I really that old? It was like it's a whole music store. It was like FYU, Sam Goody, Coconuts.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
Oh, I know. Okay. I know Sam Goody. I know Suncoast. I don't know Coconuts.
Yes. So we went to a Coconuts and my mom was like, we're going to buy some tapes. And we bought like a gospel tape and then we bought Take Six, this album.
Oh, wow.
Like this was 1992. And so we were like, okay, we're doing this up. And so church went from there. Like that's all we listen to all the time. I ended up getting baptized in seventh grade finally. And in seventh grade, I got baptized and I went to Catholic school. And so I was like learning all this like super black church Protestant stuff and then like going to Catholic school, wearing my uniform, being like a good, you know, Catholic school student. And I started not understanding why these like ideologies didn't line up. Like I was like, but they're talking about Jesus. And they're like, no, it's wrong. Don't listen to the Catholics.
Oh.
And then it was like, I would be in Catholic school and the kids would be like, are you even Christian? And I was like, I am. I have no idea what.
I don't know.
It was fully like, torn between like, two worlds.
And then, oh.
Wow.
Now this is what happened. Someone said to me, I will never forget, Nora Walsh. Shout out to Nora Walsh. She's my first friend at the Catholic school. She goes, wait, are you even Christian? That's okay if you're not Christian, but are you even Christian? And I go, I don't know, because we've never used that term before. We were saved and sanctified. That's what we were.
Wow. Like,
so for that you, that didn't necessarily mean Christian. Oh my gosh. That's so
like, it was like, but we didn't use that word. Yeah. We didn't use the word Christian. And I was like, I don't know. Are we Christian? I go, what does that mean? Like I heard it before, but I didn't know that. I knew that we were saved.
Right. Okay? We didn't know if like the label applied necessarily
right.
in your situation.
And so,
yeah. Especially when Nora is questioning you.
Right? No, right? I was like, oh my gosh.
The right.
And so after that, I remember my grandma picking us up that day to go to church. And I was like, Nanny. That's my grandmother's name, Nanny. She's amazing. Shout out to Nanny. I was like, Nanny, are we Christian? And she's like, yeah, baby, what are you talking about? Of course we're Christian. I go, because Nora Walsh asked me, and I didn't know if we were Christian. And she's like, yes. She goes, Christian just means that you follow Jesus, that you are Christ born. So you are Christian. I was like, okay. Next day I went to school and I was like, Nora Walsh, I am Christian. And she was like, okay.
Confirmed, co-signed, and signed by grandma.
Nora Walsh.
Right? Oh, yeah. Right? And so I knew I was Christian and I was fine. And as long as everyone else is Christian too, like we were all Christian, right? And that's why I was like, okay, so we're all a little bit different, but we're all Christian. And we kind of, you know, talked about that. So I was real, real into like my faith. Like, it was like, I'm not wearing these pants. I'm listening to all this legit, like, Take Six was my, like, Bible.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, it's album. They're pretty rock and roll, so I get that. You know, you were a young, rebellious teen.
Right, that's it. But, like, I mean, I don't say that to my saved mom. Like, the Bible was my Bible, Mom. I promise, the Bible was my Bible. but, like, Take Six was, like, that was my theology class. Like, that's how I understood it, because that's all we listened to. That we don't even know what that other gospel CD was. My family was convinced it was Kirk Franklin, but the timeline doesn't match up. And so
like a seed on the rocks, Kirk Franklin fell away from your family's listing rotation.
Well, your family said, not talented, not good, not unique, not interested.
Well, I remember it was in my mom's Plymouth Volare, and she only had that when I was in seventh grade and the beginning of eighth grade. Wow. And Kirk Franklin came out at the end of eighth grade. So,
okay.
See?
It's all lining up.
I did some Google research, because I legit was like, I understand. And so what happens? So just a question. What happens when you're super Protestant in Catholic spaces? Do you know what happens to everyone? They all are going to hell. And apparently it's my job to tell them. Oh, so,
yes. Well, yeah. No, I knew that.
That sucks so bad. Yeah. Wait, why did your parents even enroll you in Catholic school to begin with?
Because I went to a school in Chicago, and Chicago public schools at that time did not have many great options. Mm-hmm. And so it was very much you either went to Catholic school so you could succeed, or you went to public school and hope for the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's kind of like, that's where we always were. But it was one of those things where it was like, don't listen to anything they tell you about religion. Like, you don't need to know anything they say. And I was like,
that's so confusing.
Right. And then so for high school, I ended up going to Catholic school. I ended up going to a Catholic, like, college prep, all girls school. Mm-hmm. So I was once again, this Black Protestant girl in white Catholic spaces telling everyone where they're going to go.
Were you telling people, though? Were you being bold about that?
I told people all the time. I had holy boldness. I was raised to have holy boldness, Kevin. Okay. Both my granddaddies were preachers.
Okay.
So, and it was so funny, but my views kind of shifted during high school, where I was telling people all the time, I was like, Jesus Christ is the way, and you need to be saved. And they're like, stop talking. Right. So, but like, I had some awesome, awesome badass nuns at my high school, and they were amazing. And I stayed without telling me, like, you're crazy and you're wrong. They would very lovingly and gently correct me about things and make sure that I understood, you know, this is where Catholics come from. And a lot. So being my mom, being a single mom, we did not have a ton. Like, there was not a lot to go around. But the most generosity we've ever gotten were from Catholic people, like from our Catholic school, from the local Catholic church, from the Catholic food pantry, Catholic charities. And so 15-year-old me, it was like recognizing this. I was like, I legit got a scholarship to this Catholic school because, you know what I mean? Like,
these people care about us and are like blocking it and doing what they're saying. Yeah.
Exactly. And so I started getting super involved in, like, I was always singing. I sang in church all the time. That was how I was involved in church. I was in the choir. And then when I was getting involved in, like, the stuff at my high school, it was through, like, theater stuff and singing, but I also started cantoring at mass. Like, we would have all school mass, mm-hmm. and I was like, I can canter. Like, I would be doing those psalms, like, Protestant Marcia, like, raising people up on eagle's wings, you know, singing all the songs.
Did you enjoy it? Was that fun?
Oh, yes. Well, I love singing, so I was, so I was singing, and like by the time I was a senior year, I got like more like advanced roles during the mass. Like, I got to be like a co-presider of the mass, like hanging out with the priest and learning more and more about things. And somewhere in my junior or senior year, I really started to think, like, even though I was super involved in my church, in the singing, as a matter of fact, I was so involved that I had to miss school a couple of times because I was also in a choir competition, a la Joyful Noise.
Hey, well, we know what those are like now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. No,
just
no.
Like
and
that.
They're not super far. I mean, there's no, like, you know, death by sex, but, you know, there are. Like,
but there is Dolly Parton.
Yeah. She comes to all
Dolly
them.
Dolly Parton in a robe that apparently is really form-fitting.
She got a tight one.
That was a tight robe. We didn't really talk about that. Like,
they pointed out in the movie, they're like, her and her fancy different robe and whatever.
Right.
And
Yeah. No, we actually did that episode on our podcast, and we talked about that for like, I don't know how long. We're like, why does she have that robe?
Oh, we yes. love it.
Also, we need her that custom robe. It was actually sponsored by Quaker Oats. It was a Chicago gospel competition, oh, Voices of Tomorrow. Wow. So like, I was like super, I was just real, I was involved in my school faith. I was involved in my home faith. And so it was so just kind of like.
A busy person. And it was like always church.
My whole life was church. Like, it was like a Wednesday, Friday night church, all day Sunday at church. Like, that's all I did. When I did plays and stuff like that, like, I had to be like, my mom would basically like, you need to go tell Pastor Durham why you can't make service on Sunday. And I'd be like, I'm in a musical and I have to do this. Is the musical going to be good for your soul? I wow. don't know, but I really
no, it's cats. It's
person.
The opposite. Oh my God,
right?
And he's like, I don't no. have any problem with it spiritually. It's just taste wise. I yeah. don't think it's a good
production. I think Andrew Lloyd Webber is overrated as a lyricist.
I can't get behind that.
No Jellicle cats. No.
Wow, so, you had to like report why you were missing and all this stuff. And did like, you ever have a perception that like, oh, I am at church a lot more than other people, and that is a cool thing about me, or is that like a weird thing about me?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it was 50-50 because I had a lot of friends at church. Like, there were a ton of people my age, mm-hmm. right? My first boyfriend was at my church. My second boyfriend was from my church. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, ooh, now my mom knows about that because I wasn't allowed to have boyfriends. But now she's probably going to hear this.
Mom, you know what? Just go easy on her.
Yeah, we can do a mom's not allowed cut for patreon.com if we need to.
Ooh, yeah.
Which maybe we should have been doing this whole time, Caroline.
Yeah. Well, she knows about them now.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm 40 years
you
old.
You are 40 yeah, like, years you. Old, Mom. You got to come right. to terms.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, I know. It's because I'm wearing a Harry Potter shirt. That's probably what it is.
Ah, I know. Freaking Ravenclaw? Is that you?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's me all day long.
For a birthday for a friend of mine recently, for a man who cares not at all about Harry Potter, I got him a Hufflepuff spatula. Because I thought, you know, that's funny.
There's nothing wrong with Harry Potter. Well,
with Harry, there's nothing wrong with Harry.
Right.
Harry's fine.
Right.
He's a good boy.
Yes. No, and Daniel Radcliffe wrote the books.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's what all the fandom says.
Yeah, what if that's canon now? It's like, and we all remember how Daniel Radcliffe wrote Harry Potter.
In that little coffee shop there. While he was a single dad.
Right?
He was negative three.
I'm all fair. Yeah. So when I went to college, it was one of those things where, so you mentioned like, is it weird that I'm like in church all the time? Like my whole life was church. I had high school experiences, but I didn't have like a whole normal high school experience, I don't think. And I decided my freshman year, I was like, I'm not going to tell anyone that I go to church. Like, I'm just done. I'm only going to go to church when I go home and it's fine. And so for the first 2 years, I was like, well, the first year I didn't go to church at all. Like I didn't find a church on campus. Wasn't in the Bible study. My roommate would invite me all the time to Bible study. She's like, you should come to Bible study. You should come to Bible study. I was like, I don't want to come to Bible study. Like church is not going to run my life.
Wow. So, that's such a big radical shift for you. Like, was it pure burnout basically? Just like, I'm so tired.
It was burnout because I still prayed every single night. Mm-hmm. Like I still like legit on my knees prayed every night. Pray with my grandmother and nanny because she's amazing all the time. But I was like, I am real done. And so my sophomore year, I was an orientation leader for the incoming freshmen. And my roommate was like, okay, come to prayer. She was my same roommate. She's like, come to prayer group with me. Like, it will be fun. It's the first one of the year. There's so many people there. There are people that you know there. You should come. And I go, I'm actually going to call that cute guy that I met because I met this guy. And I was like, on this boat, I'm going to just call his room and see what he's up to tonight. And maybe I'll hang out with him. And she's like, okay, fine. She's getting ready to go, whatever. And so I called him. And so he knows the story. So his name is Ed. I called him and I was like, hey, Ed, it's Marcia. And he's like, oh, hey, what's going on? I was like, yeah, I just want to make sure that you know, because he was a freshman, but I was like, I want to make sure that you know the campus really well. What are you up to tonight? And he's like, oh, I was actually going to go check out that prayer group thing. I go, shut up.
Damn.
Me too. No, I was like, I too am going to check out that prayer group.
Ask you, Ed.
Right?
Like, cut to God and heaven going, hey.
Right? It's like make here them we kiss are.
Dolls.
And then so my roommate looked at me. Like she was walking out the door. She's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, are we allowed to say that, right?
Okay. You're right. As Catholics? Yes, I believe you are.
Yeah.
Oh well, no, I'm like, yeah. On my show we don't curse. My co-host Shannon like she scolds me because I have a potty mouth.
On this show we make you curse if you don't.
Yeah, you're
literally okay. Well, awesome. There we go. And so she was like, okay, fine, let's go. Because I didn't know where it was. So I was like, you got to show me where it is. And so we get to prayer group, and like, I'm meeting up with new people I already know. And I'm like, it's really more of a social group. And then we talk about prayer, and there's like a discussion question, and it's fine. And so throughout that whole year, like I learned more, like I started getting more and more involved in my faith. Like I went on a retreat. And then they wrote me in because they're like, hey, after the retreat, they're like, hey, you sing really well. Have you ever considered being in the choir at Mass? And I go, well, I'm not Catholic. And they're like, right, you know, you're fine. And like, I knew this because I did all the things in high school. And so I started cantering at Mass again and being a part of Mass and doing all this stuff. And it was just a thing I did every Sunday night. So by the end of the school year happened, and I ended up being elected to run the prayer group.
Of course.
That's what happens.
Yes.
Right. So I was running a prayer group, and then I ended up, throughout that summer, I did a lot of praying because I didn't want to be a part of my church where I grew up. Things I left out. It was kind of a toxic environment for me in some ways. Like all my friends were there, but then also like everyone I ever met and known in my life was there, and you can't like escape that. Mm. It was like a small town.
Yeah, and you're kind of pegged as like a certain kind of person maybe, and like you grow up and you're like, please let me grow up. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And you can't really escape decisions that you make and things that you say and do. And I was like, I need to peace out of this church and I don't want to go back. And I ended up living on campus that summer because I did not want to go to the church. Like I was like, I'm going to stay home. I'm going to stay on campus. I got a job on campus, everything. Mm-hmm. And I was doing prison ministry at the time. Oh, that also happened. I was doing prison ministry at the time. And one day we were leaving the prison, which was like maybe a half hour from my school. And everyone was like, hey, the big like Mary statue, it was like making its rounds. And they were like, we should all go see Mary. And I was like, okay. And I was like, I do not want to see Mary. So what my friends didn't know was that summer I was really praying about becoming Catholic. And because I didn't know, I was like, I don't know. Like, I think that I'm feeling like really pulled to the Catholic Church, but I don't understand the saints and I don't understand Mary. And then I got to understand the saints better, but Mary was my last holdup. And we went to go see this Mary statue. This Mary statue is like insanely big. It's called Our Lady of the New Millennium. And this is like
it's in Chicago.
1990. It's currently right now in St. John, Indiana.
Oh.
But it was traveling the country in 1999.
Oh, this statue was a traveling statue.
Yes, it was a traveling statue. And like there's a whole story about a miracle attached to it because we're Catholics, we can't do anything without miracles. Okay. And I remember everyone was like at the statue, people were laying flowers and they were crying. I was like, oh my God, this Mary, oh my goodness. Uh-huh. And so I remember I was like, what is the big deal anyway? And I was standing at the foot of the statue and I was like, damn, that foot is huge, right? And so because there's a big statue, and I looked up and I was like, holy shit. Like it was the way the light hit, the way the statue hit, I looked up, it was like the statue was looking at me and I was like, my legs are now jelly. I need to sit down. Wow. So I sat down and start praying. And in my prayer, and I told the story before, and I go, I'm not trying to get people to like come investigate this. But while I was praying, like this woman's voice was soothing me and telling me that I need to trust and to let go. And I was like, oh shit. Like, and that seriously was my whole thought. And when I was done, I don't know how long I was praying. When I was done, like, I knew that was it. Like, there were no more barriers. Mm-hmm. I knew that I needed to be Catholic. And that night I told my friends. And that guy, Ed, actually, we ended up becoming best friends. We never dated. We just became best friends. And he was my confirmation sponsor. And it was like a surprise to everyone because no one knew. Because it was like, I don't want to tell anyone that I'm thinking about this because I don't want them to influence me.
Yeah.
You know? So that happened. And since that point, it's been the Catholic Church for me. Like, Mary is legit my homegirl. Like, you know, those t-shirts, like, Mary's my homegirl. It's like, yes, she is. And I don't love all the things sometimes. And it's really impacted, like, the Catholic Church has impacted a lot of my decisions, a lot of the ways that I live my life, choices I've made and things like that. But I do have my issues with the church because I have my issues with the people mm-hmm. in the church. Because especially now in this time, some people make their faith so political, and I was like, it needs to not be political, and I need y'all to stop being crazy. And I'm really involved in a lot of the things of the church. Like, I did youth ministry for 5 years, and I'm sure you know this, Caroline, like, if you work for the church, that is a sure way to start losing your faith. I had to peace out of youth ministry so I can stay Catholic. And there were like so many things that I would say that were contrary to what people thought a good Catholic should say. Most Catholics I know are pro-life. I don't like to say pro-life because I don't like what that means, because you think of racist white people. I am all about a consistent life ethic. And when you say that, that means that you also respect LGBT, you know, Q people. A lot of people got mad at me when I wore a shirt to like something that wasn't even a church event that said protect trans kids. And they were like, how could you wear that? And I was like, they go, aren't you Catholic? I go, I am Catholic. But I'm also like, I go, if you're pro-life, you should want to protect life. Like, don't say, like, not just certain lives should be protected. Like, trans kids need to be protected.
Yeah, and it's kids, which is always a shoo-in for, you
it's
know,
kids.
Let's keep them alive, you know? Like, y'all like kids? Man.
Right? Don't you like you like kids?
That's,
yeah.
That's the thing is, like, with the pro-life, pro-choice discourse, the whole impetus of it is that the idea that unborn children, quote unquote, or however you want to frame that, that is a mm-hmm. vulnerable population. That's a vulnerable thing. They cannot defend themselves. As if, like, once everyone is born, no one's vulnerable anymore. There's no such thing right? as a marginalized people group. Everyone's got the same shot. Yes. Everyone's got the same deck of cards they've been dealt. Mm-hmm. As if there's
right?
not vulnerable people and groups of people that also need our particular attention. That are alive.
Yeah. So yeah, a lot of, yeah. And that's the thing. It's like a lot of my work in the church has to do with I am a part of an organization. We don't like to call ourselves a pro-life organization because we don't like to associate ourselves with white racists. We're a feminist organization who subscribes to a consistent life ethic. And we're we do work at the border. We're doing, you know what I mean? Like all the vulnerable life, everything. And a lot of my work is based on the Catholic social teachings, and it's frustrating though sometimes to like deal with other Catholic people. That's what's like, this is why I stopped working for the church. So I can just unblock, I can just unfollow you, block you, walk away from you, curse you out, and not lose my job. Mm-hmm. Yeah. and that's been a huge part of it. Like it's been like I said, like I'm not leaving the church anytime soon because it's the people, it's the people that are being awful. Like there was this quote I read. It was like, I don't know. It was a tweet. And it was like, don't let frustration with Christians ruin Christ for you. I don't know how that is that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No,
who said
that makes
it,
sense.
It was really, it was really great. And so that's kind of where I was. That's where I am sometimes at the church. And I feel like there are spaces where people don't necessarily want my voice, right? They're like, no, like my sister is married to a woman. And I was like, yeah, her wedding was beautiful. You should have been there. And so some people are like, you're not Catholic enough. You don't do this enough. You're not that enough. And I was like, well, fuck you, I'm a Clint Eastwood this bitch. I'm going to create my own thing. Yeah. And so now we've got like I've got my Catholic podcast and I've got my, cause I'm like, there's, my voice is still valuable in the church and I am still the church and I'm actually helping to, with an organization that we've started because Black Lives Matter is like a curse word apparently for people. Mm. And it's Catholics United for Black Lives. Cause I was like, no, we're going to do this. Like I'm letting you guys know.
That's awesome.
Like,
yeah,
we are in this. Like, and so, and here's the thing. I have that holy boldness that I was taught.
Yeah, now it's just going a different direction. Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't. So like I am still in it, still here. I really like I love my faith. I love Jesus. Absolutely, things need to change within the church and within systems. And I'm doing the work to help change that.
Yeah, you're kind of doing the difficult thing that a lot of us sometimes don't have the stomach to do, and enduring a system and hopefully operating within it to an effective degree that you can see actual change on a personal and relational level, but also systemic change. I think you do have the honorary of being our first continuing to practice Catholic guest that we've ever had on the show. I think everyone we've had with a Catholic background no longer goes to the church in any way.
Yes. Shannon said that, Channing, because we used to say, we're like, they need an actual Catholic guest that is still a Catholic. I told you, Shannon and I are fans.
Oh, that's very sweet.
And we're like, every time we're like, there is a Catholic. We're like, yay. Oh.
Sorry.
Because they get to their like where they fell off the cliff. You're like, no. Oh, yeah. I understand that.
It's like, no, come back. Or they would say things that like, they're like, yeah, because of this. And we're like, that's not a thing. Who told you that? Mm. Shame on them.
And so, wait, you don't like it when three Protestants tackle something as simple as the two popes? We're just like, oh, I don't know. What's a pope? A pop? No, a pope.
Well, I think she's talking about like for Catholics that became lapsed too, like people in their life that probably said some crazy stuff to them. And maybe they didn't feel like doing what you did, which is like, okay, I'm going to continue to pick up the like mantle of Catholic and like be a stick in your side sometimes and just like say I exist in here and I'm gonna keep doing it, you know. But that takes a lot of love for the like organization or the group that you found or the beliefs that like worked for you. And I wanted to ask a question too, because like for Christians that maybe are trying to like edge their way into like a more progressive like set of beliefs while still staying in the church, there's like now I think more options maybe, or at least definitely in our neighborhood, like more options as far as like finding a church where you get to have a little bit of both. Has it been hard for you to find a place where you can go to mass and you also don't feel like someone is going to tell you Black Lives Matter isn't real, you know, or something like that?
Well, there are places where that is the truth, but I don't have that problem because I work at a residential facility. Like I live and work on campus. I run a home with teenage boys and we have church on campus and we have Catholic service on campus. And I help run it.
Oh my God. So you just like, you went out and you just made a church.
Wow.
No, I didn't. The church is already established. There's a whole person
who does it.
Like, there's a priest that comes in every day. We've got the Eucharist there and there's a person who's really in charge. But then like once I start working there, I was like, oh yeah, I'm Catholic. And they're like, and the one person was leaving that was the cantor who wasn't Catholic. And they're like, oh, cause I worked there previously in my 20s. And they're like, but you can sing, so you'll be cantor. I was like, and because I used to be a Catholic youth minister, they're like, and you can do other stuff too. And so it's like, Mike and I tag team the Catholic. So it's like, no, I don't have a hard time finding a church that says Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. That's really cool. Yay. Good for you.
So like I told you, I'm a Clint Eastwood this bitch.
Yeah. Which in your example, it doesn't mean yelling at an empty chair. It means creating your own.
It does not. I yell at vestments that are hanging.
Right. Right. A different inanimate object.
That's normal.
Terrific.
That's really cool. And I'm happy for the people that are going to your church too and getting like a, you know, a different experience than you did maybe at a Catholic church and a little bit
more inclusive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not my church. Like, I don't, like, I want to make sure, like, it's a...
Yeah, no, no. It's First Church of Marcia. You can all go. Yeah. All donations go to you.
Marcia. I get it. Yeah.
The tithe is just your Venmo at handle. We understand.
The priest
how this
is
works.
Just you and a mustache. I understand. Oh, no, it's all fair.
It's like, this is the Eucharist.
And in that sense,
like, this
get in my
really
belly.
Good.
Yes. Well, Marcia, God bless you. And thanks for, you know, doing the work where you are and living in that tension and doing hard things and living out the things that you believe and want to be true in the world as you see them. And yeah, thanks for sharing your story. Let's take a quick little break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with the new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that can kind of propel me into
feel
like
as incredible as you could feel.
To exercise more, to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that, and then
good
going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/goodchristianfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/goodchristianfun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
I agree. First month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's betterhelp.com/goodchristianfun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
When you come back, can you say, we just took 5, but now it's time to take 6?
No, I'm just going to come back on
Kevin,
that.
Please.
No, I'm just coming back on that of you telling me say
cool.
it. Okay. We just took 5 and now we're taking 6. Welcome to Good Christian Fun. Welcome
All
back.
Right.
It's time to dive into the topic.
Come on, let's
go. Take 6. Well, you told us about your history with music. Anything else? Anything else did you listen to besides Take 6, or was this pretty much it?
I mean, we listened to all the gospel music on Sunday mornings, mm-hmm. but I mean, more, it was like Kirk Franklin and all that stuff. When I went to college, I listened to all the things, everything. I've been to Newsboys came to my college to perform.
I think you're going
to
say house.
they came to my house. I mean, I lived there,
so maybe.
But yeah, so it's like, it was real, all the things, but Take 6 was that's where it started. Actually, mm-hmm. Newsboys Shine is where it started, but still.
You made them wonder what you had, make them wish that they were not, etc. Yes. So on and so forth. Take 6. Now, this was a group I only knew via getting into them in hopes that we would cover them one day on the podcast. And I saw a friend of mine that doesn't have any religious background posting them, but just this friend of mine, she's super into music and all different kinds of music. And she was saying, oh, this track freaking slaps, and it's from their debut album. And I think her taste and affinity for it does speak to kind of the sphere that they occupied in the culture, where it was kind of crossovery, and especially these first two albums. Album number one, and just to be clear for some context, this is a acapella group from Huntsville, Alabama, 6 gentlemen of various harmonies. It's kind of the foundational quartet of a top lead vocal, the middle rhythmic parts, and then a walking bass line at the bottom. Kind of in the style of the Fairfield Four, the Swan Silvertones, gospel quartets like that. But Stevie Wonder was a huge fan of Take 6. He loved them so much. And then one Christmas, he said, this album changed my life, and got it for all his friends as Christmas gifts. And then they would, you can look up videos on YouTube. I think they performed with him a few times, one of which was the 9/11 telethon that they did for New York City, where Stevie Wonder, they're backing him. It's very cool. And it is great because where 2000 style was cool. At the time, one of them fully looks like he's in his pajamas, ready to be tucked in by his mom after a nice long day to get a good night's sleep.
Just wearing a silk suit or something?
Kind of.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was silky, man.
Oh,
fabulous.
My gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So also the origin story, I don't know if you looked into this, Caroline, but it is pretty much it's pretty much pitch perfect. Like the Anna Kendrick in the shower, and then Anna Camp coming in and harmonizing with her on Bulletproof or whatever that Sia song is, I think, and Pitch Perfect one.
Don't act like you don't know and love Pitch
Bulletproof.
Perfect.
Let me pull up my notes.
By
I don't know.
Ariana Grande? No, that's not it.
Katy Perry? and it was 4 of them were harmonizing at the university they were attending, and then the 5th one came in. And then he started harmonizing with them in the bathroom. And then they all started singing together.
Which is the biggest flex I have ever heard. I have trouble doing one harmony, and to hear 4 already going and be I got one extra line on this. No way.
I've been singing all my life, and harmonies always gave me a stomachache. When it was I grew up a soprano, and all the sopranos wanted the descant.
Yes, soprano one. I just right? do the melody.
I was
all day
I don't
long.
Want the descant. I don't want the
desk. Hey, yeah, I grew up a soprano too. Carmela Soprano.
clever background work on Kevin's part.
For the listener at home, sorry. I did change it to Edie Falco, my virtual background. But yes, yeah, so my I have like no history with Take Six at all, other than listening to them for this very show. But I was open-hearted and open-minded. For this album in particular, Marcia, you listen to it more than the first one, because generally the first one is regarded as that's their best one, that's their masterpiece, and everything else kind of petered out. Because I did see, as the discography goes on, they added more instruments, which kind of takes away from the native appeal of it, which is a cappella.
No, I actually only have ever listened to this album.
Oh, all right.
That's it. And it's, wow. I think it's just because this is what we had, and like it was never like, oh, I should do more Take Six. But I was like, no, I'm just, I never did. Like, I was like, oh yeah, this sounds great. And I was like, I don't care.
People do you love Take Six? And you're like, I love 1990 Take Six, like, you know.
And that's right.
And they stopped existing for me after that.
And this is just such a different vision of what we think about when we think about a cappella now, which is, of course, three things. It is Glee. It is Pitch Perfect, and it's the pentatonics. Like, those are the three mm-hmm. things that occupy. And there's always like a cappella groups in colleges. And if you look up any popular rock or pop song of any note and then just put a cappella on YouTube, you can find a treasure trove of horrors on there. I was doing a little bit of that earlier this afternoon, just Bruce Springsteen, a cappella, and watching these very sincere college groups come together of like, I'm on fire. And like two of them are flat, which even with nine of them makes a difference.
Yikes. You know, and unfortunately, if you do Google Ingrid Michaelson, Random Voices, UCLA, you will also find an uncomfortable cover of that.
Why is that uncomfortable, Caroline?
It's actually pretty good. I still stand by it. I liked it.
You were part of an a cappella group.
Yes, I was the soloist on that song, which is kind of a big deal.
Is it on YouTube? Is it for real on YouTube?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't have the link. Oh, I need to find it. Yeah, it's there.
Ingrid Michaelson, UCLA. Okay, we'll find it somehow.
I don't know, maybe. Okay. It might be buried. But anyway.
Yeah.
So that's probably the fourth thing you think about when you think a cappella. You think Caroline Ely, solo, 1 year.
I do
dropped
now.
Out of the group.
I do now. That's yes.
Because I needed to get a job. This group, I really enjoyed. It was a surprise. And I forgot with a cappella groups, like, even with this one, I think it really came to light in the fact that they were, like, supposedly singing, like, Christian songs. But it's really more about the talent. Like, it's like watching an acrobatic group versus, like, going to hear a message, you know, that you wanted to hear.
Yeah, yes, it's absolutely, there's not as much, yes, ministry involved.
Like Harlem Globetrotters, you know, like a basketball.
Right.
Yeah. No, Caroline, I did think of you immediately in the intro of this album, because there's a few, we've been talking about, you know, album lengths a lot on this show, and there's a few little skits and sketches on here, one of which that opens is called Not Again. And it is like tuning and then an audience booing. We're about to hear it. Should this be how we open our show?
Yes. Boo! Come on!
Just people booing the Christian fun. We're good. We don't need to hear about freaking Amy Grant another time. What were some emotionally resonant or favorite songs for you growing up, Marcia, from this album?
So it's funny. So I
Oh, by the way, the album is So Much to Say. I don't think we said that before.
Yes.
So Much to the number two.
Number
yes.
two.
So Little Time, So Much to Say.
This album, so just like I told you, like it's a whole memory, like of a whole year of my life, maybe a couple more years than that. But I hadn't heard it in probably 20 years. And the minute it came on, I just immediately knew every word, all the inflections, all the things. I started like speaking along with the skits. And we had inside jokes about things. Like when we would get mad about stuff, my sister and I would be like, bust the police, bust the police. That's what we would say. Like, because that's one of their things that they say.
That rocks.
And so like, it was just, that was kind of like, It was my childhood up through like through high school. And I asked my family and I go, hey, I'm going to be in this podcast and I'm going to talk about Take Six. And they're like, oh my God. Like, they all like got this like
so faraway
glossy like look on their face. But so my favorite song was actually like of the whole record. It was I Believe. Like, that was a bop to me. I was like, I love it. I love this falsetto. You know, it was super great. That was a favorite. We all had our own favorites.
Bam, but bam.
I know all I could listen to in this song was just the bass line going bang.
Bang, bang. Bang.
I seriously just like I was sitting down and I just got up and started dancing.
Yes.
Like, it was doing like that, like kitchen dance.
Me.
This is great for your listeners.
That
which is me dancing.
Oh, this will be our first video podcast we ever do. Don't you worry.
That's it. Just for me to dance.
Oh yeah.
But as I was listening, I thought about it. I was like, oh my gosh, I already know a joke that you're. I'm just hoping that you picked up on this one thing, Kevin.
From this song.
No, from later in the album. And I was like, please tell me he got it. And then I just thought that they were like, probably not. But and then I had a guess as to what your favorite song would be, Caroline. Caroline, I can't talk.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know what it is. But
ooh, yes. There's a lot of expectations for us to meet or fall short of.
I bet this is her favorite song. And I hope he makes a joke. You guys, like legit, I have been here since day one.
Yeah.
I was like,
you're
all
a real
things.
One. I'm afraid to fail you in a lot of ways.
I mean,
you should be. I respect.
Do you want me to like say like come unto me? Like I'll do that. Or is it?
I was about to say
another one. Or Jesus, come into your heart. Like I definitely flagged that situation.
Oh, not that one. Oh, that wasn't the joke, but it's fine.
I mean, no,
it was a lie.
I imagine as a longtime listener that it is comforting to get to the end and hear Caroline go. Gosh, I'm a little torn on this one. I guess I'll give it a space between because it did suck shit and I hate it. Just kidding. Caroline has surprising taste all the time.
Brutal.
You can't pin her down. You can't pin her down. Anyway, she's always just a little bit different.
A little bit of a mischievous little boy.
An enigma, if you will. And that's when the torture started.
I can't believe that this is your favorite song because I Believe like stresses me out so much to listen to. Like it's just
bang.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, I think it's him going bang and then the soloist is like on the fringe of his voice the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Like the very, very top. And I'm just I'm like afraid they're gonna fall. You know, it's just like watching tightrope. It's like, amazing.
But they never do. That's the beauty of it. It's like going to a circus and there are little clowns.
It was my bop. Yes.
That was the bop.
But I'm not kidding. It's the bop.
But
I loved it.
If you're looking for a more relaxing antidote to that.
Come unto me.
This is my mom's favorite one.
I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you.
This is so good.
Of me, for I am
like my mom's favorite. She loved this so much. We couldn't do anything. Like, here's the thing. When this song would come on, we could not talk. We could not move. She had to sing it. If we started arguing, we would get in trouble. She would be mad because it was on
fair.
A tape. So she couldn't rewind it. And so
This is mom's time.
Like it was her mom time. And that was legit. Like, so you guys,
I respect
like, I'm not
that so much.
It was seriously, I was like, this is my mom's song, and it's this is where we are.
Unbelievably beautiful. It's so freaking smooth. The talent is unparalleled. I was just in awe this whole album. I couldn't believe it. But I think Come Unto Me is my favorite song. I don't know if that was your prediction, but
no.
Oh. As a child of Mannheim Steamroller, that won the Christmas album.
And that's,
I don't know, maybe that's
culture.
What yeah, my disgusting culture.
Ew.
That was like what, I don't know, that felt comforting to me. Maybe it was nostalgia working, but I think it's also just really that's beautiful. Awesome. And it didn't like stress me out the way I Believe does.
I found this in the old CCM archives.
No way.
This is a cover story I'm holding up. Take six takes off. This is from April 89. I just want to read kind of like the lead of it because it is in a not at all racially coded way, mesmerizing to read from CCM Magazine. Talking with the members of Take Six, I struggle to figure out why they remind me of the color blue. I call up past impressions associated with the color, and it finally starts to come to me. Blue is hip. Blue is urban. Blue is soulful. Oh, no. Blue is cool, which is in quotes and is spelled with a K. The memories begin to crystallize. Jazz standards like Blue Moon and When Sunny Gets Blue. My very first exposure to jazz. Delving deeper into jazz by listening to artists who record for the Blue Note Jazz label. Yeah, Take Six fits the profile perfectly. Expressive, but cool.
With a K.
It's pretty nuts. And then there is, I don't even need to read the follow-up, but there is a question they ask of, jazz has a rather, shall we say, colorful background. This is them interviewing the band. Do you not see a mixing of the holy with the profane when you combine Christian lyrics with purely jazz stylings?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And they're like, no, not really.
No,
like,
we don't.
Lay off of us.
That's
yeah.
Very that sucks so bad. And that wasn't the same with whoever we were talking to who ended up in like the hip hop genre.
Yes, the Winans. It's the same thing.
Winans. It's
so,
always.
It's yeah. so wild to think about, especially now in the year 2020, in a post-Gosling world, before he explained jazz to scared white people across the country in film form. It's so funny to think about jazz occupying the like sort of rebellious, revolutionary, dangerous music space that hip-hop does to a lot of people now. Of like, oh, jazz? Are you going to shoot a guy after you listen to jazz? Like that the implication that the genre of music itself is an offense is so funny. It is so funny to me. Yes.
So silly.
Wonderful. So much to say. I think just because of the kind of like tightropedness that you were describing, Caroline, this is one
gotta
of my favorites.
Gotta make it stick. Better begin, so listen up, won't you give it a do here? A hip community gets so much to say. So little time. Provides me having fun, so I'm taking this alone. Only got about a minute. I hate apropos. Not too many seconds in it, and I'm just fair. I try to quit some wrong way. I'm just through some way to land a story. It does happen.
Did you happen to look up the lyrics on anywhere, Caroline or Marcia?
I just the songs knew them. I did.
Yeah. For this one, there is like, it's such a dumb. Like it's almost like stupid how much of a trick it is, but it is such an effective trick that they do with some of it, with some of the lyrics, where they basically spell it out. Oh wait, no, it's not on this one. It's on "I Love You." That actually, I think "I Love You" is my favorite one on the album.
Something like a shopping spree.
So this is a classic written from God's perspective song. I love you. I-L-O-V-E-U. Oh, but the trick I was looking for that I was referring to is there's like kind of a bridge part where they say, I'm able like a beacon to see that you don't ever lose your way because your defense is even, but my efforts will never fail. A, B, C, D, E, F. Isn't that funny?
Ah, that's good. spell. Which you, I thought it was going to spell out ACAB, and I was like, whoa.
Take six said.
I'm like, amazing. So early. Amazing.
Take six said, fuck the police.
Fuck the police.
Yeah.
I would love, yeah, a jazz a cappella band to sing.
Six. Fuck the police. Anti-police.
I'm sure it must exist. It must exist somewhere on the internet.com.
Yeah.
It's
I Love You is so That's bouncy. Actually, it's great.
This is actually the song I thought was going to be your favorite, Caroline.
I mean, it's up there. You're not wrong.
I was like, I think she's going to love this song. Like, I was so ridiculous.
I think it's my favorite, and it does stand as a polar opposite to a song later on the album called Sunday's on the Way. Now, in listening to it, just listening to it.
Oh, my God.
Here, I'm going to play some of this for the listener first to give them a taste. And see if they'll make the same conclusions I did.
Well, the demons were planning on having a little party one night.
We're having a party.
Yeah. They brought beer, Jack Daniels, and some pretzels. A little red wine.
Beer. Jack Daniels. Pretzels. These are
pretzels,
the same
man.
Thing.
And a little white. They were celebrating how they crucified Christ on that tree. But oh, the snake himself wasn't so at ease.
Okay, so listening through, I was like, what is this? A Carmen song? And it turns out it's a Carmen song. This is
Are you shitting me?
No, this is a cover of a Carmen song called Sunday's on the Way.
I wrote that in my notes of like, is this feels like Toby Mac? And then I was like, oh no, this feels like a like Carmen would love to do a cover of this.
Nope.
Like,
this is on his
Shut
Radically
Kevin!
Saved album, Sunday's on the Way, which is why
Take Six, you are better than this.
They're not though. Oh. Not here, baby.
Oh my gosh.
And this
is so crazy.
Yeah, this does include the lyric, and I'll tell you one more gain bust, that Jews on Ice talking about Jesus, which, yeah, it's just not what you want, especially from
it's
Carmen.
Not what you want.
No, this song, I wrote in my notes, this song does not hold up. Like,
when you were a child, were you just bopping out to it so hard?
All day long, and I knew all the words, and then I heard them now 20 years later, and I'm like, oh, this song. That juice, oh my gosh. And then there was a few things. It was even one of the graves' names for Satan that made me laugh so hard because I completely forgot about it. Did you catch it?
No.
Wait, the name for Satan?
He called him like a nickname.
Oh, what was his nickname? I'm looking through the lyrics right now. Oh, you big yellow belly Frady cat?
Nope, he called him Big D.
Oh, cool your jets, Big D, big evil dummy.
And that's what I thought. I was like, I cannot wait till they hear that lyric.
Yeah, okay.
And I called him Big D. I was like, oh my gosh.
I mean, this only serves our central hypothesis that Carmen wants to have sex with Satan. He loves him so much. He has a little crush on him. He wants to give him little kisses down in hell, and they can be happy together forever.
Yeah, he wants to wrestle, you know, like your parents wrestle. You used to not to bother.
Come
them.
On,
like,
Satan, just one. I've been a real good Christian. Don't you want to punish me for all the good I've done?
Come on, right in the sucker. Let's go. I should have known, too, because, like, I was shocked by the way they were talking about the crucifixion on this, like, very swingy, like, fun song when I'm like, oh, usually people aren't, like, jazzing out on, you know, Jesus's death. I was a little surprised.
Old Carmen never found an event he can't jazz up a little bit.
Yeah.
Carmen, who is the greatest showman, as we established.
Yes.
The greatest showman. Yeah, and then just the line, like, everything was cool, but then boo-hoo-hoo, he was raised. Like, it's just the casualness of it is shocking. And then it ends with, like, evil demon laughs.
Oh, yeah. Should this be a part of our
imagine brain? Jazz hands.
This is it.
Jazz hands. Just like, yes, just like you're doing. Yeah. man. So great.
Well,
like, what does that even mean, though? Does that mean, like, Satan is still cackling? Is he still, like, at it? It just... It really
no, I think at the end they're, like, sad. Aren't they?
Oh, it's sad. Yeah. It's crying? Because
they're ramping down. They're like, yeah, oh, no, we failed.
Yeah.
That's what I took it to
I
be.
I thought they were laughing.
Yeah. So you think like crying totally is different. Laughing.
Yeah.
Don't you love people?
I think they're jazz hands, though.
Yeah. That's how they wipe away their tears is with their jazz hands. Don't you love those people in your life where their laugh sound and their cry sound is indistinguishable from each other? I've had a few of those people in my life, and it rocks so hard. This one I didn't even count. It is a mulligan because it's a Carmen song. I'm not putting this in the final.
It's not Take Six.
We all make mistakes.
Carmen took advantage of Take Six. Carmen did a bad thing. He's got the big D energy on that one.
Yeah, absolutely not. No to this song. I would like to talk about Time After Time.
Oh, sure.
This one. Oof.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him in? Why don't you let him in? There's nothing
in. This is my own personal worship time.
Yeah, no, please, rock out.
In the year 2020. Do you want anyone to enter into your heart? Does that sound good to
not
you?
Not without consent.
Yes, thank you. That's good.
Oh, you know, he did wait a really long time, so the least you can do.
I mean, he paid the price, like the ultimate price. Yeah. Like, you don't like...
I thought, like, it was... Oh, good.
You don't like this sin I washed away for you?
If Jesus quarantined for 14 days, I would let him enter, but not before.
Then. Oh, yeah. It's mostly COVID concerns.
Yeah. Yeah. It's mostly, hey, listen, he could be the Messiah, but that doesn't mean he doesn't sneeze. He could be a super spreader. You don't know.
There's a reason we say God bless you. There's a reason.
That's right. Because if we don't, we'll get COVID.
Jesus was alive, he'd just be flouting rules.
No
I
mask.
Just thought it was so funny, like this the song, the whole song, they just keep going on and talk about how he's still waiting. He's waiting and he's waiting and waiting again. And it just cracked me up that, like, Jesus has the time and is just sort of like sitting in a waiting room, just sort of like, okay. You know, whenever you're ready, I would like to.
I know.
This is into your heart.
That's where the relationship stuff, like that imagery and those metaphors, really break down for me at a certain point. Because when you impute so much humanity to God, it's like, wait, okay, so what is he? Because in this one, it's like he's waiting for you, and he's actually checking his watch a lot because he's waiting for you. So there's that. Or then what was the other one? The Mary Mary song we talked about last week, where they said, like, can you mention me to God? I know he's busy right now, but it's like,
yes.
Is this how it works?
Is he busy? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if our metaphors are helping us.
Like,
in our
he either has everything to do or he has nothing at all to do except wait for you to come on around.
I just want a dependable rebound energy God. Like,
I want a lightly, like, cold. Distant, you know, but would, like, if I said something funny, you know, would be kind of be interested, you know, that's kind of the vibe.
Like, make me work for it, but reward me when I do, and when I nail it.
You ready to go?
I think.
I it's also really pretty. And then another part of me is like, I don't even know how you begin to sing along with that song. I'm sure Marcia can at this point, but I was like, I don't even know where the melody is anymore. It's just so, and it's like moving around so fast. It was amazing.
Is it in 5/4 time? Maybe it might be.
I don't
it could know. Be in a funky time signature. 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2. It might be. I don't know. But it is a funky time. It's that second. It's
weird.
That Satanish jazz that they were talking about in CCN.
It is
a demonic little jazz genre.
That's yeah. It. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh boy.
It's colorful.
Oh, and by the way, you know, just as a little exercise, if you're unfamiliar with Take Six, you the listener at home. We would just strongly recommend you go to youtube.com and then type in Take Six Getaway Jordan. where they do just show you how they built. I can just play a little bit of that right now, actually, for us.
Yeah, and then, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, we can play that and then maybe rate the album. But this is them. They basically show you how they create their sound.
What we thought we'd do is to take a section of one of our favorite songs, Getaway Jordan, and show the audience how we build our harmonic structure. I'll start. I sing the top part. We'll go to Mark.
I legit think they all like have really good outfits.
They're cute.
They look really cool.
Six cute boys.
I want to cross the Jordan just to see them face to face, because I believe apart the borders if I have a little face on me.
That was good. All right. That was real good.
Can you do that, Kevin?
That's my part.
No!
I made it through once. All right. Now we'll add
on. Go for it, Dave.
So he does it.
Three. I want to cross the Jordan just to see him face to face, because I believe apart the borders if I have a little face on me.
And the way they're like egging each other on.
Yes, just, like after everyone does their turn, they're like, and that was
boys supporting other boys.
That's what we need. They're so underrepresented.
The upper voices are intact. We will add.
We go to the meat locker. Dun, dun,
dun. First in the meat locker.
David
Arnold. Awesome.
Meat of the hominy. Here we go.
I think all six of these boys were a meat locker.
Three. Okay.
I'm no vegetarian.
Well done, Thomas.
Watch his face.
Look!
Very good. Now we add the baritone.
Okay.
Sidley.
Okay.
Two, three.
I like how they break it down like we're going to be like, oh, so simple, of course. And I, just as soon as the third person joins in, I'm lost and I'm like in disbelief that there's like more they can add.
It's so funny. It's like, yeah, it's like a master chef doing a YouTube video and just saying, all you need is like a little bit of flour and some protein.
Yeah, it's really simple.
And there you go. Prime rib or whatever. I don't know what recipe gorgeous. That would be. Well, I think it's time that we rate the album. You know how this works, Marcia. We're going to give it a thumbs up, thumbs down, or space between. Thumbs up is a holy toast. That's when we say to this album,
yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah.
Holy roast, thumbs down. We send it to hell, and we say,
no, 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 no.
Or we're not sure either way, and perhaps we send it to
the space between.
And we start, as per usual, with Caroline Ely.
Oh, slash holy Reba. Toast. Holy toast for me too. And I thought this was delightful. We didn't even talk about some of their spoken word interludes or little jokes. It did have a very, unfortunately, like kind of a Toby Mac vibe to me here and there. Just like being a little silly, you know, doing a little cheeky.
Oh, I see that. Yeah.
And then getting hardcore like into their music. Yeah, it's very amazing, and I'm not going to pretend like that video you just played didn't influence my perception of these
right?
men, because, wow.
Yeah, we didn't get to the part where, especially when they're just like fully humming, all six parts are together, they just cut to them throwing hoops.
Yeah.
And just putting up baskets.
In a photo shoot, I guess?
It was very funny.
Damn. Yeah, they're great. They're delightful. Thank you, Marcia, for introducing me to Take Six. I'll take more.
Hey, I'll take 12 if they got them. They are still together. They did a like over Zoom distance version of one of their first hits, Spread Love.
Oh my gosh.
And they're like cute older men now. They've all aged pretty good.
I'm sorry. This reminds me of something else I did want to say, is I did get the sense, even just listening to their album, that they are having a lot of fun. And then in their video, you can tell they're having a lot of fun. They seem really supportive and cohesive. And that also made me really enjoy it.
Hell yeah.
I'm glad they're still together.
All right. We'll turn it to Marcia then.
Well, yeah, this is getting a holy toast. Like, that's happening all day long. So, yeah, I've forgotten. And when I listen to this again, I go, oh my gosh, it's Brian McKnight's older brother started it. And I was like, yeah, shout out to Brian McKnight and his older brother. Holy toast.
Yeah, the whole McKnight family. I obviously will give it a holy toast as well myself. Wow. This made, you know what? MAGA, make acapella great again.
Oh, Kevin.
And you do it by listening to Take Six.
sing Carmen songs.
I'm gonna need you not to, on the episode with the black guest talking about the black acapella.
Yeah.
Marcia says MAGA.
Marcia says MAGA. Make it better. Keep it here.
I mean, the I don't mean to be mean, but Pentatonix is like fully bullshit, right?
Compared to this, kind of.
Compared to the, and also that main guy. Okay, maybe I'm just thinking of. Have you seen those videos that have been going around to Caroline on TikTok, where it's yes. the main guy from Pentatonix being like, "Dr. Anthony Fauci," to the tune of Hamilton.
No, I can't. Any of them like in isolation are like horrifying.
No.
Together, it's like, oh yeah, this is fun. You know, like you guys can work.
Yeah, it's kind of like me and you. In isolation, I'm horrifying, but I work with you. You can give it a toast or a roast yourself or a space between at Christian Fun Pod. Go on there. Vote. And
Pokemon, go to the polls.
Ballers.
Four years running. Oh, man. Can't wait for some Sleepy Joe drop to get put in there. I guess I don't know why I'm saying I can't wait.
Can't wait.
It's in my power to do it. All right, Marcia, we're dimming the lights, we're lighting the candles, and we're here for a more worshipful space. The cantor is canting a slow jam now. Is this offensive?
No, it's
And we're not here to promote ourselves or our projects. We're here to lift them up, and we'll start with Caroline.
Y'all, you know I'm going to lift up TikTok because it is on thin ice and we need to all get on there and save it.
Save TikTok, y'all.
This is the biggest priority facing the nation right now is Donald Trump's overstep to take over TikTok. Otherwise, I have no problems with him. And so get on there. not true. But I also want to lift up a band that actually is maybe in the same vein of Take Six.
The Beatles.
They were three white girls that are like from current times. Actually, I don't know if they're all white, but there is a band called Avenue Beat that's really good. It's this trio of girls, and they really do beautiful, like tight harmonies. And I just really enjoy their songs. They're great, and they did get famous on TikTok, and so that just sticks to the theme.
I've seen their videos. I like them a lot. I think they...
Yeah, okay, great.
They're very good. Okay, thank you, Caroline. We'll turn to Marcia.
Well, I'd like to lift up myself. Yes. Hey. Follow me. Stylish. I'm on Instagram. Like, that's my favorite place to be these days. At Stylish Lucia on Instagram. I'd also like to lift up this really adorable, cute little podcast about, like, Black Catholic Girls Put On. You may have heard of it. It's called Plaid Skirts and Basic Black. It's at PSBB Podcast. As well as Catholics United for Black Lives. You can follow them.
Lift them up, please.
You know what? This person really needs some help. So you might not have heard of her. She is an indie artist, and she needs some love. Her name is Taylor Swift. She folklore. Folklore. I like to lift that up.
Yeah, she's like a singer-songwriter, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah, I purchased 7 cardigans since that CD came out.
It's so, August, my friend.
Target needs to get on top of it.
They still are available, and so I got them. I legit even have the one that the teenagers are also going to buy, so I'm going to look like the teenagers as a 40-year-old
style right now. So,
is that your style, Caroline?
There you go.
I feel like it is becoming like a stoner teen skater boy somehow. I don't know. It's a little all over,
but in a good way. I think it's good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So, yeah, those are just, you know, those little things. You
support
know.
Taylor.
Especially
she
Taylor
needs
Swift.
It.
Support Taylor, right? Exactly. She needs
support that music video where she's a little, like, forest nymph or whatever. not a nympho, but like a nymph.
Okay. Kevin, do you want to lift yourself up?
Yeah, I want to lift myself up at Kevin T. Porter. Frickin' check me out on Instagram and Letterboxd.
check him out on the Washington Post if you know what's up. Look at that byline.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes, yes, yes.
Check him out baking cookies this morning because that's what I spent 2 hours
Yeah, I
doing,
missed that.
Watching
I cookies. I did go on Instagram Live and bake. I did the.
That's
I finally did
Kevin
the cooking show.
Day, Marcia.
The 350 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
So that is the show now. Oh, and I'll lift up frickin'. What was I going to lift up? Oh, something. I'll think of it next week. I had it and then I totally lost it. But it's really good. Oh, I was going to lift up. Oh, you can watch the original Broadway cast documentary of Company on Criterion Collection right now. The Stephen Sondheim musical with Elaine Stritch losing her mind while they make her do like 50 takes of Ladies Who Lunch. It's so good. And then you can use that as a primer to watch the episode where they make fun of it on Documentary Now on Netflix, where it's John Mulaney, Stephen Sondheim, Taryn Killam as the studio tech, and Paul Appel as Elaine Stritch. And it's one of the funniest things I've seen all year. I thought it was so great. So watch that. You can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. You can go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun, and you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. In every review you leave, we donate $1 to charity, and this month's charity is the Black Lives Matter movement. Marcia, thank you so much for joining us on the show, friend.
Thank you for having me. It's great.
What a fun time. What a, you know, representing the Catholic people, practicing ever on and ever more.
Yes.
And there's nothing left to say except for an off pod's people said, hey.
Wait, Marcia, can you canter us out?
Yeah, do that.
Okay.
Yes!
Hell yeah.
That was so nice. Woo!
Okay, and there's only one way to go out now. It's by playing this.
A genius immunologist, grad of Cornell, with the doctorate.
No, don't play this, please.
This is the worst thing I've ever seen in 2020. Oh, this is so cool. Oh, yeah, hell yeah. We stand.
The mask king, the Duke of Distancing. Why
yeah.
Hamilton is already on thin ice.
Scott Hoying combining two cool things. Standing a political leader in Hamilton the musical.
End it.
Okay, it's over. But we have to get to this part.
He has the hottest body of work. What's your name, man? Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Oh. Dr. Anthony Fauci. All right, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
And there's a million things I haven't cured, but just you wait. Just you wait. Dr. Anthony Fauci.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.